Right, welcome in, folks, to the Can We Kick It podcast. I'm your co-host Mike, along with Chuck here.
Hey, what's up, Mikey boy?
Not much, man. Been a long time. I don't know why we keep having these long spurts in between. Love the Brockmeyer background for those of you who can't see it in the audio. He's rocking a nice Brockmeyer background. If you guys haven't seen that show, check it out. It's on IFC, I think, or Hulu. But yeah, what's good, man? You're up in New Jersey, doing a little bit of traveling.
Yeah, and my second home,
Yeah.
which those that know me, I spend a lot of time up here for work and personal. So, yeah, just gonna be up here for the week, and thankfully we were able to podcast. So I'd been home for a few weeks, and we still haven't found time to do the pod. So,
It's been good. I took like this last weekend to just blow through a ton of stuff. Like so many shows I'm caught up on. It's been insane how
yeah.
much TV I've been watching.
Yeah, same. And I mean, like, dude, on the plane up here, I watched, and we'll talk about this too. I watched the first three episodes of Stick
Oh
on
yeah.
Apple TV, and I read 145 pages of Hail Mary, by Andy Weir, the book
Nice.
that's going to be made into a movie. Book is awesome, and
Nice.
but the only drawback when you have a Kindle and you rent through the Libby app from the library is that it runs out of time. And so I think I had it for 14 days, and on the plane was the last day I had it. And so I read 145 pages out of 400 something. And now I have a 4 month wait again for the book. So
That's why you got to
I'm
get
going
multiple library cards like I do on Libby.
Oh, nice.
I've
You
got
have it.
like four library cards, so that way I've got like a complete selection. Yeah, that's the way to game that system. I do like Libby. I've been turned on to that for free. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice having it free, but I do like, I'm at the point of my life where I may need to spend $20 just to have the convenience of spending 2 days reading it and then have it sit in my Kindle for the rest of my life. So,
Gotta have your books.
but
Yeah.
yeah, and I also watched like six episodes of Your Friends and Neighbors too, as well. So,
Nice. Getting caught up on that.
I need a 7, 8, 9 to round that out. But yeah, it did the same thing. Blown through a lot of TV. Went and saw Dogma at the movie theater.
I almost did the same. Yeah.
Went with Blanca and our good friends Sharon and Bob, who you've met.
Yep.
So went to the good old Regal Edwards on 59 in Greenway.
Oh, love that one. That
And
was always my favorite. Grandparents. Yeah.
So God, it was so good. I've seen it like a million times. It was just nice to see in the theater.
Yeah. Yeah, Jackie's
Yeah.
brother wanted to see it, and I think we spent all day doing other stuff, and we were like, "Yeah, I'm too tired to go to the movie." And I was like, "I just buy it. I think I own it, like on Apple." So like, yeah, love Dogma. So funny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
catching up on a bunch. I've been watching stuff that's not even on our list. I mean, we talk about Your Friends and Neighbors. I finished that. I've been watching some movies lately. I don't know what it is about movies at the moment. I watched the Gran Turismo movie. Watched the Led Zeppelin documentary, Becoming Led Zeppelin, Aces.
Yeah.
I finished
Nice.
You, which was bangers. And I finally caught up and finished The Last of Us.
Ah, yes.
Only weeks behind on that. Yeah.
Yeah, would you? Yeah. I mean, we're not gonna talk about it, but yeah, I finished it 2 or 3 weeks before you. I think I enjoyed it more than the majority of people. I think a lot of people dropped after Pedro Pascal. His character was Dunzo, but
I can see the drop off. I see why people were like, "Yeah, I'm out on the show." I love the ending when you got to like Isaiah's stuff and like everything going on in San Francisco or where I'm assuming that's where that was. That
Seattle.
whole thing was
Oh,
amazing with the what the scars or the scabs or whatever they call them, the cult. Yeah.
yeah. I like the boat trip that Ellie made across the sea, like in 50-foot waves in a little dinghy, and then she washed up right on the island. I mean, you played the have you played the second game?
No, only
Like,
like the
is there
first
like
thing.
a
Yeah.
is like is there a little kid that's like the leader of this tribe, and like just as like Joaquin Phoenix and fucking Gladiator, like.
Oh, yeah.
To
Yeah, I
Ellie,
gotta fix that.
yeah, it was got a little wonky. I think season three. I look forward to seeing Abby's Seattle journey, and then season four. But yeah, I mean, I've been, we watched The Last of Us. I watched 100-Foot Wave. As only 5 episode, third season. Some really good stuff there. The
I know you and Mark has
rehearsal.
raved about that. Yeah, that's been a
Yeah.
big hit for HBO. I'm going to HBO. Fuck Max. I'm going
And
HBO.
it, yeah. Well, I think now you can call it HBO or HBO Max, because whatever it is now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's some crazy amount of like hours of footage over. I think it's banned, or they started recording footage for it in 2014, and then all the way to, I think they've even recorded up to like 2025, but like the season one, two, and three only go up to like 2023. And so, I mean, just because it's big wave surfing, and they go whenever there's the opportunity, and
Yeah.
then they film everything, and then so it's such a massive undertaking
Yeah.
to edit and to put together episodes and the narratives around there. But it'll be interesting to see if there's another season with that, because it kind of ends a certain way that kind of tries to wrap a story up.
Interesting.
And then I watched The Rehearsal, which I've been trying to get you into. Season two with Nathan Fielder, one of the comedic geniuses, like very understated and such a study of humanity to watch an entire season of that. When you watch it, we're gonna have to do
Oh
a
yeah,
whole
it's gonna be a standalone.
rewatch of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a whole, yeah, a whole separate episode. Yeah, so there's a lot of TV we've been burning through without really talking about it. So,
Yeah, I there's shows like that weren't even out this year that I like. I finished Derek with Ricky Gervais, where he's working like an old folks home. Hilarious. I watched the
yeah.
cartoon show called Hoops with Jake Johnson from New Girl, where he's like this really horrible basketball coach at a high school. It was hilarious. I mean, it was brutal, but it was hilarious. So there's a ton of stuff out there. And then I just watched The Accountant 2 last night with Baffleck and Joey B. John.
John Bernthal. Did you never watched We Own the City, did you?
No, it's on my list. I literally
Oh
almost
my
started it
God.
yesterday. Yeah.
I think that it's so slept on as a show. It may be one of the best like shows that HBO's ever done.
I
It's
believe it.
just so insane.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
There's
it's
so
so
much.
good.
Yeah. There's so much
Yeah.
that we've watched, we haven't caught up on, but I think, the two I think we want to talk about tonight, right? One being Andor, right, which wrapped up on Disney Plus with its second season. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Stick, which is new to Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
You want to jump
And
off with
just,
Andor?
yeah, just one real quick thing
Yeah.
too, for we do have a couple of big shows coming up in June. Well, we also had Tyre season two, which you're a big fan of.
Loved
We
it.
both watched season one. That's out, which you watch. Resident Alien, which me and our coworker Marcus are huge fans of. I haven't watched the episode yet. I'm saving it for a plane ride back Thursday, but the first episode was last Friday. There. And then we have Squid Game and The Bear coming
Yeah.
in the end of June, I think like the 25th and 26th. So
Yeah, we're like two
some
weeks out from that. Yeah.
huge shows coming up.
Yeah, we got the green light on Slow Horses season 5. That's in September, along
Yep, I
with
saw
Stranger
that.
Things. So we've got some stacked releases coming, like double month. So it'll be good.
Yeah. But yeah, so now we can what's our thoughts on Andor?
So Andor, right? For those who haven't seen Rogue One, you need to watch Rogue One. It ties up the end of Cassian Andor, right? And leads into Star Wars: A New Hope, Episode 4. But Andor is telling the story of like his involvement into the rebellion and his hesitation to do so. He's got family, he's got people, right, that he cares about. He can't just burn, everything at the stake to he's trying not to anyway, to fight for the rebellion. I think this show, season one was amazing, right? The last three or four episodes in the prison were amazing. I think this season was just as great on a more, not as a grand scale, but I think the most underutilized character was Luthen Rail with Stellan Skarsgård. I want to see freaking movie about that guy.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty kind of just I think you have some really good characters that you could spend a lot of more time on. So, Luthen Rail, basically his kind of unraveling during the season and kind of straddling the line between his own ambitions and the rebellion. And I mean, you kind of see that struggle with a lot of the characters and what's their beliefs and what's their kind of at the core of why they're doing stuff. And where Cassian is really around protecting I say Bessie, but that's not her name. His
Fix.
Bix. Yeah, I know this is the B. I'm like, why do I want to call her Bessie? But like, you see what's their like, what kind of drives them. And but I think, it's really one of the hallmarks of Andor season one and two is that you don't have to be big into Star Wars and the lore to really enjoy the show, because it's a good show at its core. When you think about other Star Wars entities and you think like the Mandalorian, and you've got little Grogu and Din Djarin and some of the Star Wars stuff, and you got Wookiees and Chewbacca, and you've got this is really at its core like a political drama,
Thriller.
thriller,
Yeah.
and kind of like it's just a story that works whatever timeline or whatever universe it's set in.
Yeah,
So
I really like it because I've been reading a bunch of stuff how you can have a great Star Wars story without
yeah.
Jedi and lightsaber. Those things are great on their own as long as, they all screw them up. And they do it the right way, but the show really was about character development and rebellion and what it takes to like to get this rebellion off the ground. Because I think one of the favorite moments that I liked in the show was you've got like three different fronts that are leading the rebellion. You've got the people on Yavin 4, right, who are like the base, and then you've got Luthen, who's deep in enemy territory, and then you've got Saw Gerrera, who's like attacking the front line, and all three of them are hating on each other, and they're like, "Oh, Luthen's doing his own thing," and it's like, dude, he is like I'm rooting for the guy. He's sacrificing his whole life, and you're just hiding out on Yavin, like, "Oh, I'll do this, blah blah." Like, yeah, and then
And
Saw Gerrera's like,
Saw's
"I
in
want to
there
blow everything up."
he's huffing the good, and with the bomb specialist guy or whatever, and
Wacky.
he's blowing everything up.
Yeah.
He's got a gravity bong,
Yeah.
or something over there, and just like Let's get high and go fuck shit up.
Yeah. It's.
But yeah, you see the rise of the rebellion from the seeds, you know. So, which, you know, it with the Star Wars story, you have, I mean, how many ep like 24 episodes of
Yeah.
kind of planting the seeds of the rebellion and then having it evolve into like say, you know, going into the Rogue One and how it eventually ends. But yeah, and it's, you know, one of those things where as you're watching, you know, of course a TV show, you can predict that, okay, Cassian, and you know what, Rogue One, that he's going to be one of the rebel leaders, but like that's not there early on. It's really about
Yeah.
protecting his family and you know, and even like say Luthen Rail, Mon Mothma is about enriching themselves, and then they both, you know, especially Mon Mothma becomes more like kind of radicalized, you know, into the rebellion, you know, through political choosing. So
Yeah, the
I
Gorman
think,
Massacre 2.0 really didn't do anybody favors. Yeah.
yeah, and that's often like that kind of fascist philosophy of peace through strength, and where, you know, as like on the Gorman front and that narrative and the Empire, you know, with some people and it truly believing that they're doing good for the people, you know, and it's like you kind of get a glimpse of like, hey, that's not, you know, leading by control and force and, you know, making choices against citizens is historically not going to work out, you know,
Right.
over time. It's going to lead to a rebellion, whether this is a Star Wars story or a real life historical through religion, through, you know, other uprisings throughout history.
Right.
You know, there's it's they tell this story with a really cool way. So
Yeah, it's there's anecdotal truth to it, right? I mean, it's and you know, I think the show is crazy in that it, you know, I've heard a lot of theories around, you know, Galen Erso was the one who would design the Death Star for, oh man, Ben Mendelsohn's character, I can't remember, Director Krennic,
Krennic.
and how they, you know, they did all these tests and oh, they need the coaxium that's on Gorman, and I was reading how there's a theory that they didn't actually need that, but Galen Erso push for it to help start the rebellion along, like from his own side. So there's a lot of crazy theories out there and how they all ring pretty true to a lot of like history and you know, recent events and stuff like that. But I do find one thing funny. You know, the show does have humorous moments and other than like Diego Luna like Andor like shooting somebody and Mon Mothma's like freaking out because he just shot somebody and she's like, "This is not what I signed up for." And he's like, "Yeah, welcome to the rebellion." Like it's like, yeah, this is what you've like been leading this whole time, like through your trust, right? All this money that you're pouring into the rebellion. And then how Alan Tudyk playing the robot. I'm not K3S 2S or whatever it's now, I don't remember. Went in to save Andor and everybody in the apartment, and he's like holding the stormtrooper as like a human shield. When in reality, he was like laser proof, like blast proof. So he was just doing it for the love of the game. That shit was hilarious.
You make a good point, because especially with the Mon Mothma piece, it's like whenever a high level leader goes out into the field and they're like, yeah, you know, this is how the sausage is made. All right, I don't want to know that.
We'll keep hands clean.
I'm good with having enough layers in between where I can be oblivious to the blood and sweat that goes into it, and I can just look at the top line. So
Yeah.
it's Yeah, I think that's
This.
what makes it, even though it's takes place in a universe that we don't know, it's very relatable with
Right. Because even the Empire had that, right, where they just had these levels of insulation where Major I can't even remember, I don't even remember ever hearing his name said, but like Partagas, right, who was Dedra Miro's boss. Like he's like, oh, we want Gorman to do this, and then he sends like Dedra and Cyril to do it, and they both have like doubts about slaughtering all these people. And he's like, yeah, it worked out in the long run. Like all this insulation is so funny.
And did you, I mean, at certain points, I thought Dedra and Cyril would like have, kind of that aha moment where this is wrong, and then neither of them did. Like, there's this experiments that happened like back in, it's some kind of test. I forget it. A friend was telling us about it. I did some research on it, but where they had people, volunteers that, they did the study where you come in and they were instructed to shock people, so they like, they press a button, it would shock people. And there was like 90% would continue to do it even if they were hurting people because that's what they were told to do, and like they never stopped to question whether it was real or like this person was going to die or hurt. They were just, it's kind of like this is what the superiors, this is what someone is telling me to do.
A scintilla of power, right? It's the Stanford Prison Experiment. I give you a little bit of authority, and you just take it to the worst extreme. And I think Cyril had a little bit of that moment right up until got killed. But I think his mom didn't mourn too hard on that one, considering how bit of a prune she was. But I do find it funny that Dedra wound up in the same similar prison that Andor was in, but for I'm guessing the women's correction. Building stuff for the Death Star. Thought that was hilarious.
That was great.
That was some good poetic justice. Yeah.
And the experiment I was talking about is called the Milgram experiment, and it was a psychological experiment in the 60s to study obedience to authority. So do some research on that, because
I'll check that
it's,
out.
there's a documentary and stuff like that about it. It's very, I went down a rabbit hole on it one night when a friend was telling me about it. So but yeah, it's, yeah, with her seeing the poetic justice of being like in that similar style prison of that Cassian was in, and when the lights go out and then the floor, the floor turns to, and you're like,
It's like, oh yeah, she's locked in. She just starts crying. It's like, oh yeah.
So
Yeah,
yeah, Andor
great.
is so good.
Such a great show. I hate that it was only two seasons. I heard that they wanted to do like five, but
Well,
had to trim it way back.
if you think about this as, there was what, 24 episodes? I mean, if this is HBO, this is 4 seasons of 6 episodes,
That's true. That's true.
or 3 seasons of 8. So I mean, I'm kind of glad they did what they did, because I'm thinking like, how they're talking about The Last of Us is going to be like 4 seasons now. So I'm like, we still have 2 more seasons, and like the last 3 seasons are going to be the second video game. Like,
Jeez.
why?
Yeah. Why are we dragging it out?
I get sometimes you want to milk the cow, but give me something that's really good in the right amount of episodes, and
Yeah. Tell a story. Don't milk the cow. Yeah. Yeah.
But
But kudos to Diego Luna. I'm interested to see what his next projects are going to be.
poor man's Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Except with a better accent. I love his really great accent. Yes. And then yeah, Alan Tudyk, underrated actor, resident alien, plays the robot in this, is playing a robot in the new Superman movie coming up. I mean, the guy's prolific and nobody
Hasn't he
knows who
played
he
a
is.
robot in other things before too?
Oh yeah, tons of stuff. Yeah. Guy does a lot of voice acting. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
Favorite
yeah,
character
he's
from Andor?
favorite character, the bellhop from the hotel in Gorman.
Class.
Now, in all seriousness, probably the Gorman spiders.
Oh, yeah, those are pretty good.
Actually, Cyril's mom.
Oh, yes. Coldest woman outside of the planet Hoth. Insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
What
love.
about yours?
I loved when Cyril, Dedra's talking to his mom and he's like in the other room laying on the bed, just
Yeah.
like that was hilarious. So off the wall for a Star Wars bit.
Yeah.
Hey, for me, honestly, it's tied between Stellan Skarsgård, Luthen Rayle, and I really liked director Krennic, Ben Mendelsohn. That guy can
Yeah.
play really cruel and overpowering very subtly. I really liked him
Yeah.
as an actor, and I thought he did great in the show. Obviously, he
Yeah.
goes into Rogue One, and we know what happens with that, but glad they brought him back.
Yeah. I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, the easy answer is, Cassian Andor. I did like, the who was the lady that was showing the artwork to Lonnie? There, Lonnie, the redheaded guy that was the spy.
Oh, Clea?
Playa.
Yeah,
I really
Luthen's
liked Playa.
adopted daughter or whatever. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
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 and
yeah,
then the
yeah.
backstory of how he got Clea.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that I really I really enjoyed like her commitment to the rebellion and the kind of the backstory. That it would have been cool if I really knew her name before saying that that was my favorite character. But
She made
yeah.
such an impression.
And
Yeah.
I don't know if that guy's name was Lonnie, but that's what I called him.
I don't blame you because some of these characters I don't even yeah I it was hard for me to understand their names sometimes. I didn't even know that like Dedra's boss's name was apparently Partegas or something. I like
Jose Partagas,
yeah
and
I they're
he's
just
like
all over the map with this stuff. And then there's Bix and I'm like, oh, Bix was a girl who apparently had Cassian's baby at the end of the thing, and now there's three.
Bosso was his brother.
Yeah, I
Basso,
so.
Basso.
Yeah, and then there was like Willman, who was like the friend that always hung out. I don't know, dude. That was
Yeah,
hanging out with
yeah.
Saw Gerrera. I don't know. Lot of characters, lot of characters. But
Yeah.
give me a rating out of 10. For me, I'd put it at an 8. Where would you put this season, or series? Right, because it's a short series. We could clump it together. Where would you put the series on an out of 10?
I would say series like 8.5, and I think I would put probably both seasons at that. I mean, I think it could be higher. It is nowadays 12 episodes of a 1 hour show is very time consuming, but I never, like we talked about this with Silo, how like 80% of the season last season was like slow and kind of uninteresting, but like the other 2 hours were bangers. But Andor was like consistently solid throughout. There was never like a slow, I mean, slow in the fact that people were probably thinking like it was nonstop action, but it's not that. But there was no, I don't know, lulls. There was no kind of crappy side stories that no one cares about. Like even in like Landman and some other shows, like 1923, I'm like, there's like a couple stories where I'm like, I just want to fast forward when it's on. It's like pointless.
Yeah.
And maybe that's more of a Taylor Sheridan thing, but and an old school TV thing. With but like Andor, there was every story was in, I mean, we talked about all the way down to like Cassian's brother, and even when they're like in the wheat fields of fucking Yip Yap and trying, that part is interesting. It's like
We get the first ever like attempted rape scene in a Star Wars movie. Like this, like so much heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Like for me, like you could have trimmed a little bit of the fat, like him going back to Yavin with the stolen TIE fighter, and like the rebels are like fighting it. And I was just like, we know he's gonna make it out of here. Let's
I
fast
think
forward.
I think that's a great point. I would say that part where they were the TIE fighter and then like the two little factions were being little whiny babies to each other and like the different I mean that but that had a little bit of a purpose, but because he had the TIE fighter, but it yeah, there's they spent did spend probably a little too much time on it. So
Love the steal in the TIE fighter. Give me all of that. But
yeah.
I don't need to see the unrest in the rebellion. I didn't really matter. But great show. All otherwise,
Yeah.
don't know what Cyril and Dedra's relationship was other than a quid pro quo. Let's hook up every once in a while. I'll tell your mom to piss off kind of thing.
Yeah,
I don't fully
why you
understand.
cry in a the corner.
Yeah. But yeah, heck of a show. That's how Disney needs to do Star Wars, is like that. Make it a story. Don't just milk it. So,
Yeah. Anything else on Andor?
no, I'm excited to talk about Stick.
Yeah. So we'll just talk episode one,
Yeah.
but as you watch the first one, I watched the first three. They
Yeah.
release the first three on June 4th. I'm a bigger fan of Owen Wilson than I am. I mean, sorry, Luke Wilson than Owen Wilson. I know that's a contrarian point of view. But I think my worry with the show, so Stick is
Yeah, you're a
a
golf
kind
fan.
of
Give me your pitch on
yeah.
Stick, right?
So it's kind of like Ted Lasso. So like this is so both on Apple TV, Ted Lasso is great for the story and the soccer is shit. As much as you try to do it, and I love seeing them use Crystal Palace, the stadium, as AFC Richmond's, they tried to do soccer. It's hard to emulate, a professional soccer game. So I think they did okay. And the same thing is like with Stick so far. But I think like, you're not going to make I mean, golf. The swing has to be at least some kind of accurate. I mean, there's just some wildly swings that, like, in the first episode where he shows up and he's like, here, hit this 200 something yards through these trees around here and
Into
into
this
this open
dumpster.
yellow dumpster.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could even have a pro probably do that 1 out of 10 times. I mean, it land in the general vicinity or get it to roll, to just land it in there. So, I mean, you have to extend belief, but I think I always worry when it's Owen Wilson by himself. Like, I love him. And, well, actually, he's not really by himself so far. So, because I love him with Vince Vaughn and Wedding Crashers. But like getting him by himself is a little, maybe a little different. But with Marc Maron, I think him and Marc Maron work so well to, and it even builds throughout the first three episodes. But
Surprisingly
I,
well. When I saw Marc Maron hanging
yeah.
out with him, I was like, these two guys? And then it worked. I was like,
Yeah.
oh.
Yeah. And the first episode is that where they're at the bar and they do the putting thing.
Yeah, they
And
hustle the
then,
guy. Yeah.
yeah. And then you're like, see them, you're like, I wouldn't even, I thought this was, I didn't think it was a hustle at all. And then, so yeah, I think the kid who he's starting to teach, it'll be interesting to see how he is as an actor throughout the show because it's pretty rough. I think the first few episodes with him, but and then his mom by the third episode, like you'll fall in love. She's amazing. Like
Nice.
she be like the first episode you're like kind of, and then by the third you're like, oh my God, she's like the Keeley of Ted Lasso. Like she
Nice.
becomes just like you're like, I want to hang out with, I want to go on this trip with them, and like, it's becomes like she would be fun to hang out with, and
Yeah.
so yeah, it really, from a TV watching and kind of that Scrubs, Ted Lasso, shrinking kind of that comedic quality,
It does. It has that lighthearted, like troubled past redemption story base going for it. I know they're probably gonna change it up a little bit, but I like the first episode in that, he was selling some heavy dude like a $1,200 driver and selling him like crazy. Kudos to him. The guy, he almost had me buying one. And then he's like teaching some golf and all. And he's just a burnout, right? He's a guy that peaked, right, and then screwed up, and then we start to find out toward the end of the first episode, right, that he lost somebody and it really screwed him up mentally, and he's just never gotten on with his life, unlike his ex-wife, who they still like share the home like years later, hilariously. But really glad to see Marc Maron pop in as like comedic relief. He was his caddy for 15 years. I can't wait to see more of that.
I
But
hope they
I'll
do
be
like
interested to see
flashbacks
if
where he's
it.
caddying and he's like, in his Marc Maron like stick.
Yeah.
But
I'll be
you're
interested to see if
just
the show keeps on with like the kid, like being the pro, because at some point Owen Wilson's gotta get a shot, right? At some point, and he's gonna be like, "Nah, my time has passed. Like, I'm here to like back this kid." Like that, I think that's gonna kind of be the story. But I'm not entirely sold on like you on Owen Wilson. I'm more of a Luke Wilson fan. We got Old School, we got Idiocracy, Bottle Rocket, ton of stuff that he's in. I mean, he's that Owen Wilson's in that one too, Bottle Rocket. A lot of Wes Anderson stuff, but I think the end of the episode where he gets emotional kind of got to me, and I was like, okay, all right, this show's got depth. Let's see where this goes. But
And it's going to touch into that realm, to help drive the story for sure.
thought it was hilarious. He's got like
And make you root for him.
five different shticks going. He's like, "The Price is Right" is like his like slogan or whatever, because his name is Price. And then he's called Stick, and like he drives
I
it.
love how they're like, I can't remember the first episode. They're like, Price is Right. Like, I don't get it. Or, like, you can say in the car, they're like, what?
He's like, it's not that deep. It's just turn a phrase. It's like, yeah. So I'm looking forward
One
to getting
other
to
thing,
watch that. Yeah.
going back to the where he's selling the guy the driver or whatever in the beginning, that is the most on the money piece from the golf aspect, because I've played golf since I was 10 years old, and at 46, was it 40? Yeah, 46, I bought my first like set of new clubs, and I went and got fitted. And I'm reading Reddit stuff. I'm going to a pro, get fitted in the simulator. And then you're in there and you're hitting your old clubs and to get a baseline. And then you go with your new clubs, or like you're trying out different ones, and they're pushing you towards certain ones, and they're like, wow, look at that. That went 20 yards farther than your other, club. And you're like, wow, this is gonna fix everything. Like, and then you walk out of there and you're like, you go play around and you're like, cool, I'm shooting the same scores that I have. So it really is such a, especially for golfers my age, and you maybe have played with hand-me-down clubs your whole life, and then you have money now, and then you buy like a new set, and then like you're going to a guy that gets paid to sell this and to get you to get lessons and all this. So, and I think So I totally understand from that point, especially you too, if you have an X Pro in there and they're like, oh yeah, you have, you don't have those show muscles. Like you have, like, if there's a fire, like I would come to you to help, save me, because, like it's just,
You got that. What was it, that farm boy strength? The tree falls on me. I want you to lift it off of me. Yeah, so great. Oh my gosh.
But you texted me and I totally missed this earlier. And then the best line from the show, like, do you remember what you texted me?
Oh yeah, it's from the first episode when he first meets the kid. Yeah, he's like. He's like, hey, people call me Stick. What's your name? And he's like, go fuck yourself. He's like, okay. And then the guy comes up and he's like, you know who that was? He's like, told me his name was Go Fuck Yourself, but pretty sure that's an alias. It was so dry. I loved it. Oh my God.
That was super clever. But it is funny because the premise that I guess he's a teenager, but maybe not in high school. Maybe he's in high school, but apparently he doesn't go to school and just works at a grocery store. Like, even though there were 3 episodes, I'm not super clear on his age, but like the premise of a teenager going to a driving range and like collecting balls and just hitting without permission versus like going to the little automated stand and tapping your phone and paying $8 for a bucket of balls. Like, I mean, I know like kids are, you can have some rebellious streak, but like playing golf at a driving range, and sneaking free balls is kind of a very stretch of a premise, but it's I mean,
And why did Will work at MIT in Good Will Hunting as a
because
janitor?
he liked apples.
That's right.
How do you
Apples,
like them
softballs, they're both
apples?
round.
But that
Subconsciously,
kid
they want to
wasn't,
be right.
working at the driving range. He was a
He was sneaking onto it.
stalker with an abusive boss at the grocery store and just sneaking onto the driving range. It wasn't like, he wasn't like driving the golf ball cart at night and like was honing his skills in the dark out there,
Fishing out golf balls from the pond.
Apple Boy. But
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think he's like 19 or 18 because his mom was like, oh, he hasn't picked up a club since he was 14. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's 4 years, 5 years. He's definitely like out of high school, I think. Like he's working this like stalker gig
Yeah,
at
that's
the
true.
grocery store. It's a minority
Like he
thing.
just gave up on life,
I
that.
love the storyline that they're building.
The other piece that I thought was really good, that was very, that kind of hit home, was like, and I'm sure we'll get more into this backstory, but how, as a former sports parent who was probably a little like the kid's dad at 14, like what you see with parents whenever their kid's doing good versus doing bad, and how Stick, I don't, oh, you haven't got to this part yet, but you learn more about the kid's dad that's not there in the
Not
first three
surprised.
episodes, and then like kind of why he quit golf at 14, and you see kind of like the American sports parent cult, not a, probably American, but sports parent culture,
Anywhere.
and living through their kids. It's a very, I had this moment, this kind of, I've had these self-reflective moments like multiple times throughout this, and thankfully I was able to do that a little bit in the moment when the kids were younger. But yeah, oh, it's you're just like, I can see why the kid quit golf at 14.
Lot of
You
kids
know,
have
like,
Jamie Tart's dad for sure.
and that was another theme in Ted Lasso. So, very similar, style shows and messaging so far, but Yeah, I mean that's I think Apple's creating quite a there is a chasm of comedies like in that traditional like old style network comedy vein when you think about news radio, Scrubs, like kind of those kind of comedies. So you either get like kind of raunchier comedies or kind of rom-coms, and now it seems like Apple's been able to put together a few good shows of this, and this was very so this was a very welcome, and I think what also I really like is I watched those three episodes, and I've been doing a couple of rewatches, and the two rewatches that I did before, like almost 100%. Well, I did both shows 100% were Mr. Robot and The Leftovers. So going from both two intensely emotional, grieving, questioning life, and then going to Stick, it was like, aha, he could say anything. This is gonna be great.
Super uplifting.
I don't want to slit my wrist anymore. It's like
Why don't you throw in reading Animal Farm while you're at it?
and like there's a Mein Kampf was next. So it's just but
It's good to have some light stuff. Apple's doing pretty good by having some lighter shows on, right? Ted Lasso, Shrinking, Stick. To some degree, I'll say just watching the first episode. But it's good to see that there's these different types of shows out there. And Apple is starting to get some bigger stars pulled into the mix, right? Not that Jason Sudeikis was big, but that you create a character off of a commercial, and Shrinking is coming out of left field to some degree. And now you got Stick, which ironically is going to lead right up to the release of Happy Gilmore 2, even though that's on a different network. I think that's intentional. So.
No, I think that'll be nice, to kind of energize that. And it's funny, like just a little golfing aside is since COVID, I mean golf was like kind of dying before COVID, and it was easy to get tee times. Courses were like not being as well maintained, like golfing viewership was down. And then after COVID, like when people just wanted to go outside and they saved up money, and you had it's just kind of golf's just been like,
It's
I mean, I play every Saturday and at all courses around Houston in this league, and everything is booked. Like I took off like last Tuesday to play golf with a friend in Deer Park, and like there was every tee time was full. And this is like a Tuesday, a Tuesday during the
work day.
week in a suburb of Houston. And it's like, and it's just it's had this big, really big like renaissance, and which I think is a perfect timing for this show, and then Happy Gilmore too. So
Yeah, there's something
it,
going on in the golf community, right? I think, post-COVID, we're seeing the rise of simulators. We're seeing the rise of like smaller courses in cities, like in urban environments where you can go do, a three or a six, whole thing. Tiger Woods has got his like indoor Tiger
Yeah.
Games or whatever it's called. Even my buddy's, developing that golf bag, lowercase. I
Yeah.
mean, there's something
Yeah.
about the golf industry right now that's really popping off for the next generation. And maybe it is just about
Yeah.
being outdoors, and not being inside all the time. So it's super interesting that all of this is kind of coming up now, because I'm watching this, and you play golf a lot, and my brother-in-law was just in town. I call him my brother-in-law. But he was like, "Hey, let's go golfing." And I was like, "Dude,
Yeah.
I don't have a set of, clubs. I got nothing. I get
Yeah.
my baseball bat, but it's making me want to buy a set of clubs, right? A set of
Yeah.
rackets." But Yeah, so it's good to see the show coming on and Owen Wilson getting a great start. Let's see if this thing gets nominated for some Emmys. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And hopefully it continues. I really liked all three episodes. So you
Thanks.
watch one, it definitely keeps growing in the right direction. So, yeah, highly recommend it so far.
Perfect. Anything else?
No, I didn't think we talked that much about Stick, but when it involves golf, like I could
Yeah,
talk fucking forever. So,
we're getting after it. I like it.
yeah.
But that's perfect.
Plus, yeah, so yeah, no, we it was nice to do a pod after another like 3 4 weeks of taking off. So
Yeah, nice little hiatus. And yeah, tune in next week. We got to talk The Last of Us a little bit in more in depth. I finished You. I'd love to. I've got my nitpicks with the final episode on that. There's a ton of stuff. I mean, we got to talk to rehearsal. We got a standalone. We got to do with that. And then we got to keep going with Stick. And this all builds up to The Bear. I'm debating on doing a rewatch of The Bear because now that's coming up in like 2 weeks. So a lot on the plate going on. And I there's just a ton of stuff. So tune in next week. We're going to be dropping new episodes. Try to do it more frequently as we usually are. Check out the website, check out the podcast platforms, check out the Insta. Tell everybody about it. And yeah, thanks for kicking it with us. And as cousin likes to say,
Resists.